Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody.
Woohoo!
It is Wednesday evening, November 30th, or a little after 9:30 p.m. Eastern, which means it's time for the Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs and David Dorman. Griggs is over there, Dorman's over there, whatever direction everyone is. For Under the Radar, and before I keep babbling on anymore, Griggs, why don't you tell me what Under the Radar is?
In short, if you're new to the show, and you may be, because it looks like we're picking up more and more new people every
First of all,
week.
where have you been if you're new to the show,
Yeah,
right?
if you're new to the show, where do you been? Well, what makes you think we want you now? But
Mm-hmm.
in layman's terms, it is the 22 normal one-bid leagues. Specifically, what it is that it's not the Power Five, so it's not the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, or ACC, nor is it the five other regular multi-bid leagues. So the Big East, which is as good or better than a lot of the Power Five I know, but still is not a Power Five designated conference. The Mountain West, the West Coast, the Atlantic 10, although maybe not this year. And I always, oh, the American. I was going to say I always missed one. It's the other 22 leagues. There is another disqualifier, although no one meets it now, and that's that any team that gets into the AP or coaches top 25 is not considered under the radar.
That's that individual team. There's
Right, yeah.
also, so we're going to be hitting all those 22 leagues, a couple other teams at the end. We've got some mythical conferences we like to discuss at the end of this show, even though they may involve
Yes.
some not under the radar teams. But we do like to start these shows off each week with a feature conference, a conference we'll spend a little extra time on. We start the show off on. Then after that, we'll go through the rest of them in alphabetical order. And I get to pick the feature conference every week because it's my screen share.
Yeah.
And this week's feature conference is going to be Conference USA, which is loading on the screen right now. There it is, CUSA. Conference off to a pretty good and a pretty interesting start so far, I think. And not really talking so much about that Middle Tennessee team at the top there. They just suffered a loss today, a tough game, but a loss at St. Bonaventure. I'm really talking about three other, the next three teams after them in those in that standings right there, Griggs, FAU, Western Kentucky, and UAB especially.
Yeah, I'll start with UAB. They were a team that coming into the year, I think we all had high expectations for and were even thinking was a top, solid top 40 team. I know you had them inside the bubble, not just in your field, but I think on the 9 or 10 line of your preseason bracket. We were speculating they could get ranked in the top 25 before the end of the year, and they still could. They did have the loss to Toledo out at the Barstools Classic, but that's their only loss. And they've looked pretty good then. Out of all three of these teams, I think they have the highest ceiling. Florida Atlantic, perhaps the biggest surprise. They do have the win against Florida, but I'm starting to wonder how much credit they're ultimately going to end up getting for that in the end.
Yeah, well, Dorman, the FAU, Western Kentucky also, maybe haven't looked that great, but 6-1. 6-1 is 6-1, is it not?
6-1 is 6-1. The only loss, I believe, was Akron. Nothing wrong with that. They beat Tulane, who a bunch of us on the show are high on. But that's been it as far as being tested. For the long run, though, I'm bullish on Western Kentucky. I think they're going to have a good year and they'll be right there, top two or three in this conference.
Yeah, I know those are the three you wanted to focus on, Chad. But since it's the
It's a creature conference.
feature
We can talk. We can
conference,
talk about all 11 of them. Let's do 5 minutes on Rice. Go ahead.
well, okay, we're not going to talk about Rice.
No.
Rice still amazingly. One of the things I'd like to point out, this is unusual for an under the radar league
Every single one of them.
post
Look at it.
November. Every team with a winning record against D1 teams, with the exception of two, and neither team is below 500. That's the runners, San Antonio and FIU. But Charlotte getting a really big win against their big rival Davidson
Okay.
last night
I
on
thought
the
you wanted
road.
to talk a little North Texas here, but we so we'll get back to we'll but so let's
Well, I
jump.
mean, it's just sort of going rapid fire here. Let's go North Texas
Okay.
then.
Go. Well, no, I actually wanted to go Charlotte. I thought you were going North Texas, but
Okay, no. Well,
let's go Charlotte because that win last night, against their rivals Davidson,
yeah.
last second shot by Jordan Threadgill in overtime, where Charlotte actually had a shot. I think it was a Threadgill shot that missed. Got the re offensive rebound. Had another shot. Got another offensive rebound. And finally, I think on the third or fourth shot, Threadgill, which ended up being at the buzzer beater, wins the game for Charlotte. It was just a great win. Find the highlights out there on Twitter. But
Yeah.
I think I got to take a moment here to congratulate Charlotte as well with this rivalry win. Now, we've been touting the Beehive Conference and the Old Ochre bucket
Yeah.
that they get for a couple of years now. But I think I found
There's
a
the
bet.
ochre bucket. Yeah.
I
Are you
found a
talking about the
better.
Hornet's Nest
I
trophy?
found a better trophy. This is now my new favorite trophy. This is what
Wow.
Charlotte won last night by defeating Davidson.
Okay. I this has been around for the Charlotte Davidson rivalry is one of those that's really heated within the city limits of Charlotte between the two fan bases. But it hasn't really
This is not a
resonated.
joke. This is the real
No, that
trophy.
is the real trophy. That is absolutely what you win. A big replica of a piece of crap. It's supposed to be.
Hornet's nest. It's supposed to be a hornet's nest.
Supposed to be Hornet's Nest, but it really just looks like a big elephant turd.
Congratulations to the Charlotte 49ers. For the next year, you get a giant turd in your trophy case.
This is the
Also beat
greatest.
Boise State. They
Yeah.
actually have some good wins. This team's
Yeah.
like may be solid all year long. Beating Boise was impressive to me.
Yeah, they've been Boise, they've been Tulsa. There's the road win at Davidson.
Yeah.
Lost to Detroit Mercy, but
They do kind of have
who
a
they
you're
play
really holding
again
your
next
nose with
week.
that one, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of good teams in this league, and this is a league that I think we thought got was getting diced up with realignment. But at least the basketball side of it, it's one division. It's really compelling. I think this is the most compelling Conference USA we've had since it was arguably not an under the radar conference in the days of Louisville, Memphis. I mean, it isn't quite that good,
That's
but
amazing.
look at this league. It is a good league.
I like it. The only problem is we're only going to have this for 1 year because
Yeah, I know.
we're losing a bunch more of these teams now to the American next season. But I agree. I think, even though they got some of the teams that got rid of included a Southern Miss team that's off to a great start. We'll be talking about them in a little while. I really do think that this league is a lot more intriguing with this smaller format, though.
Yeah.
Dorman, do you agree with me?
Absolutely. I didn't like with the sides and it was too much. I agree with you. And these records are proof. This conference is very solid. Louisiana Tech has looked good at times. Texas San Antonio. There's not going to be many easy gimme wins in this conference.
No, there won't. Let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule this week. We've got Western Kentucky is playing tonight. I don't know if we have a score update on that, do
They
we?
were winning last
They
I
are
saw.
up 10 currently.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I've got them up 4 with about 2 minutes left, but they are playing
Okay.
tonight.
And again, adding another road win, we've got
Oh,
the
if they
big,
hold on, yeah.
the second leg of that UTEP New Mexico State rivalry also tonight. UTEP, we didn't talk about them. They only have one loss. And I know that they sort of went to the pastry cart, but if they go to New Mexico State and win that one on the road, you got to start paying attention to them.
Yeah, they are down 8 as we record this, but it's still fairly early in the game
Yeah.
there. Florida Atlantic has a trip to Eastern Michigan coming up this week.
Yeah.
UAB, in-state rivalry there, at least against South Alabama, even though there's a home game.
Yeah.
Rice, an in-state rivalry against Prairie View tonight. Do we have a score update on that one?
Prairie View has the lead, had the lead at halftime. They lost the lead. Rice up 2, 5 minutes to go.
There we go. There we go. All right. All right. For everybody that's watching this on tomorrow morning on tape delay,
Yeah.
we're telling you mid-game scores of games that aren't going final. As we record this, Indiana up 10-8 on North Carolina, 12-16 left to go in the first half.
Yeah, a real under the radar update there.
America East Conference.
God, let's just start over. Oh my God, we're so far off the rails.
Here's the America East. We'll go through the rest of the leagues here. And the story out of the America East last week, Dorman, was Bryant going to Syracuse. A little bit of a slap fight there, but Bryant picks up the win.
Brian looked, yeah, Brian played the part. I know people are down in Syracuse, but when a team from the America East goes to the Dome in Syracuse and walks out there with a win, it's impressive to me. Bryant's got a solid team. They got the guard transfer from St. Peter's. His name's escaping me at the minute, but he gives them good, solid guard depth. They're really well coached, and they beat Syracuse that night. That was no fluke. I know Vermont's record right now looks not great, obviously at 2-7, but they really, for the first time in a while, tested themselves. So I think as the season goes on, in conference especially, they'll rise to the top. But I think Bryan is actually the best team right now in the America East.
I agree
I
with you,
agree
especially
with you
with
there.
Vermont. They played back-to-back games over the weekend. The close game loss to Wilmington. They got blown out by Long Beach. It's a good Long Beach team, but still, losing by
St.
20.
Mary's,
Yeah, in Vermont, I realize that as normal, people were big on them on Media Day, but I think Vermont has become such a brand name in this conference that that was what people were big on. When you've actually seen them play, and 9 games is not a small sample size, they have not looked as good as Lowell or Bryant, especially not Bryant.
Can we talk about one other team for the second
Sure.
week in a row, though, here? As we record this, another score update with a little under 8 minutes left to go in the second half. Maine on the road at Fordham, up 5 points
And
after already winning at Boston College. We may be sitting through the greatest season in Maine basketball history, right,
yeah,
this year.
we might be. All right.
They're 4-2. They're about to go 5-2 with wins at two not under the radar
Yeah,
teams.
in Fordham,
Is it first?
typically,
Is 6-1? Is
yeah,
six and
it's
one? Is
six
six
and
and
one.
one?
Yeah, normally terrible. This year might not be, but well, they if they lose to Maine, but well. Our good friend Lee Delvecchio, I don't know if he can handle it.
Here's the upcoming schedule here. We got the big Brown Bryant game coming up on Friday. That is a little Ocean
Yeah.
State rivalry
Ocean
there going.
State rivalry, yes.
We love the
Sunday,
Ocean
Brian
State.
goes to Cincinnati. That one, let's see if Brian can stick around in that one.
I bet they can.
I agree.
And then to Tulane on Tuesday. So big week for Bryant here in terms of building a little confidence here and some non-conference wins. Vermont, what are they? They're hosting Lyndon State.
Oh my
They've
God.
tested themselves so far. We have a week off
Yeah.
here, but let's jump over to the A-Sun Conference here now. And Griggs, I don't know. There's too much to talk about. Although I've been very impressed by by the team in red up top there.
Well,
I mean, actually, both teams in red, but starting with Queens.
Bellarmine 1-6, but like really taking on some heavyweights. They were actually tied with about 10 minutes to go at Kentucky. Now, they didn't stay with them, but
But
They're the lead.
that game was like 25-25 at half or something like this, which is
Yeah.
Bellarmine slowed out. Bellarmine controlled the game the first half before Kentucky finally woke
Yeah.
up. So, yeah.
Bellarmine doesn't like to dribble the ball. If you ever, if you have, they must lead the nation in passing. But and they're last in the nation in actual dribbles. But the story of this league, is Queens, and one of the under the radar stories, not just of the A-Sun, but period, a first year transition team, 4-2. They have a win over Marshall, who we're going to talk about later. That I think at least I sort of wrote Marshall off. Marshall has not lost since they had another good win the night. Queens can play already. They're already a D1 caliber team. There is no transitional period, at least as far as becoming D1 caliber competitive.
And when you look at the rest of this league, though, Dorman, we like Liberty going in. I mean, they've 4-3, but are they the best team? Or I mean, Gulf Coast has the win at USC. At least when we talk about the postseason eligible teams of this conference.
Florida Gulf Coast has looked good, really good at times. Lipscomb's really good, really played well. Some good big games, only losing to some major competition. I believe it was Notre Dame. They lost in Notre Dame, but they were
Yeah.
competitive. Eastern Kentucky, I thought coming into the season would be around the top of this conference. We'll see. Hasn't looked great so far, but there are some good teams, and I'm with Griggs. Queens has looked really, really good. I hate the transitional rules and the postseason and all that. Get rid of it. Once you're in D1, you're in D1. Let them go.
Yeah.
Well, here's the upcoming schedule in this conference. As you see here, a couple of interesting games at Eastern Kentucky, you just mentioned at James Madison, an interesting game coming up on Friday night there. Queens hosting is going to have some pain on Saturday, apparently.
I just noticed this one. Bellarmine, we talked about like how they've played a ridiculous schedule. Hosting Alice Lloyd, I guess that's a team
And then
on all.
following it up 2 days later with Wabash. So,
Yeah.
They're taking this week off.
Yeah.
In-state rivalry here, Stetson and Florida. Stetson might be favored in that game.
Yep. They might be. Don't count out the head. Yeah, the Headers had one. Headers are a storied team too. So them
Well,
and Florida Gulf Coast with some decent wins.
Well, Stetson could be the team of the state of Florida. Didn't they already beat Florida State? Now they're going
Yeah.
for the sweep.
Right,
Yeah.
yeah.
But let's jump over to the Big Sky Conference, Dorman, where unlike Conference USA, we
Oof.
do not have a single team with a winning record, even overall or against D1.
None. correct. These have teams have taken plenty of losses. Montana State haven't looked really good yet. Northern Colorado had some hopes for a big season. Nothing really has gone well yet for this conference, and Weber State and Idaho State have looked horrific. But we'll see. They'll start to win some games as conference play rolls around, and we'll see who rises to the top. Portland State has a lot of losses, but they're also in the Phil Knight Invitational. So those were three tough games over the
Well,
weekend.
they beat Oregon State in the seventh place
Correct.
game also, yeah. Now, they beat Oregon State, who is worse than a Big Sky team
Yeah.
probably, but yeah. Greg, here's the upcoming schedule, including circle this one here on Saturday, Northern Colorado, Colorado State.
Oh, the front
It
range.
is front range action. We'll begin back to
Yeah.
that towards the end of the show. Yep.
Okay.
What else we got? Utah Tech, Weber State.
Ooh, little back range. No, that's Beehive. That's Beehive.
Beehive, that's Beehive, that's
Yeah.
Beehive. So yeah, we've got some exciting stuff here coming in the
Yeah.
non-conference portion of Big Sky play in terms of our mythical conferences that we're
Mythical
discussing at the end of the
conference.
show.
Yeah.
Greg, let me stick with you in the Big South Conference, where High Point still winning games out to a 6-1 start under with Tubby's son coaching there now.
Yeah, and really good start to High Point. A little bit of a surprise, 4-1 against D1 opponents, and I still can't get over that. I think Longwood will end up being the class of this league once they start playing, but I'm thinking that less and less, and I'm really starting to become more and more intrigued by this High Point team. The strength of record is also, and again, I know it's early. Everything's a little bit real erratic and sort of scattershot right now, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, but if you look at the predictive metrics here that are on the screen, these are probably more,
Yeah.
can be more, a lot more indicative at this point of the season than the resume based ones, because these take a look at how you are actually playing on the court. And if you look there, you are looking at Longwood being the best strength, best KenPom, the best
Yeah.
BPI in the conference. Not the best in the Sagarins. That would go to Radford actually, but
Yeah. Who's, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Not excited about Radford. Okay.
Yeah, Dorman, here's the upcoming schedule of the Big South. I don't know if there's anything that you're specifically circling here, but if there is, you want to mention it, feel free.
No, here's some chances for this conference to start to pick up some wins. So we'll see how good or bad the conference is. Campbell, the Camels will go to East Carolina, another decent squad on Friday. That's probably the most exciting game I see here.
I'm kind of looking at maybe High Point at Furman coming up Tuesday. It's
True.
almost a week away.
Yeah.
Furman, I think, is going to have some life here in the SoCon, although we'll get to the SoCon in a little bit here. A little
Yeah.
disappointing there, too. But Dorman, let me stick with you and jump over to the Big West Conference,
Oh.
where this is a lot better of a looking of a league so far this year than what we just looked at.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I am high on this Anteaters team. UC Irvine sitting at 6-2. They had a tough loss last night, right down to the last second. It was a fantastic ball game. I know, Griggs, you were watching that.
Oh yeah,
A very good San Diego State team. Very, very
Yeah,
good.
it was at it was at the it was in front of the show, which is
Yeah.
it is not easy to win at San Diego State.
And they were winning. San Diego State needed a three at the buzzer to pull it out, but Irvine was game the entire second half, and they got down early and they clawed themselves all the way back. I thought Irvine, even in a loss, very impressive
Yeah, pull
last.
up UC Irvine, Chad, because this is not just a good Big West team. This is a potential team that I think has already shown us that they can make a run at the bubble and they can play with tournament caliber teams. Had this game not been, what is San Diego State? We're talking about them as a potential protected seed, and if not a protected seed, somewhere around the 5-6 range. Had this been on a neutral floor, I think the Eaters win it. Are they going to get the meat that they need? I don't know how much credit they're going to get for the win at Oregon. They'll get a lot, but perhaps not as much as we thought. Oregon a little disappointing.
The,
But
if they want to talk about an at-large bid, they're going to have to dominate this conference and get upset in the finals. They're going to have to go one, maybe two losses tops of this conference, and they're going to have to win these last four games, which include a tough trip to Santa Clara, a tough trip to South Dakota. It's not an easy last four non-conference games left here either.
So they're going to have to win their road games. They did lose at Pepperdine, and if you watch that game, they just couldn't get their motor started. But their other wins, at New Mexico State away from home, Nichols, who's okay, but like this is a team that it's one of those situations, and we always see this around the 12 and even the 13 line, that I think that their resume will potentially not properly reflect how good this team actually is. This is as big as we were on Murray State for most of the year last year, and I'm not trying to knock Murray State at all. This Eaters team went into San Diego State and almost beat them.
I agree completely. Here's our upcoming schedule in the Big West. I mean, obviously, you've got some other teams here also have off to very good starts, including
Look, there's what,
Riverside,
10
Santa
more, 10
Barbara,
more, yeah.
Hawaii, Davis. We could keep going here for a while, but here's the upcoming schedule. Irvine, I think, kind of has a pass this week. I think they actually
Now
have
they
time
get
off.
Fresno State at home Saturday
Oh,
night. They
there it
need
is.
that.
Thank you. Yes.
And
That would help.
Eaters fans, sell that game out. Like you've got a good team. Enjoy it.
Hawaii off a 5-1 start. Interesting game next week against UNLV. They're playing. They actually play. They've got a midnight game tonight too against Texas A&M Commerce. Briggs, the Colonial Athletic Association was almost our feature conference, but for this thing having to get onto the screen.
We needed this to happen.
But the Colonial, I mean, here's a conference with multiple teams again that I'm looking at as still very much in the at-large chase.
One being College of Charleston and the other being Towson. I think those are the two. Let's pull both of those up, kind of get them side by side. College of Charleston, if you look at just the teams that they've beaten, has an impressive resume in that regard, but the one asterisk that you have to put by that is that while it was in an exempt event, it was on their home court. They did manage it. This will go into the NET, and the committee will consider those home games, not neutral floor games. And we are all like, I am 99% sure that is the case. That's how they appear on here. That is
That
how the NCAA defines what a home game
right,
is.
and they need some road games. Now, luckily, the majority of the remaining non-conference schedule is road games, so they can win out these last five non-conference games before CAA play starts. That will give them the road wins on the resume that they need, at least.
Towson, this is a really good Towson team. They don't have the big wins on their resume yet. The quantity is certainly there, but as far as it a singular win that really jumps off the page, at UMass is pretty good. UMass playing pretty well, and the one thing they have done is win away from home. They won a lot away from home. One, two, three. Is that five wins, either road neutral?
Yes. At Penn is another solid one. That might be an incidentally tournament team there.
But the one thing about this is just talk about just stubbing your toe. One of the worst teams they played is the one that they lost to. How did that happen? And how much is that going to hurt?
Well, Dorman, I look ahead at the rest of their non-conference schedule. A little pretty interesting here. A road trip to the Bryan team we just discussed, and a road trip to Clemson on here.
Those were exact two I was going to point out. That one got erased the Fairfield loss. At Clemson, not that Clemson is great, but going into an ACC team and winning, and exactly in Bryant, if they can pull those two out, I'd be really impressed. But I'm high on this Townsend team.
Oh, I love
I've
this
seen
team.
them play. I love the way they play basketball. They're really good. I'm excited for that Bryant game in a few weeks.
And this is one of the differences with under the radar teams than maybe major conferences. The standards are the same, but the circumstances are different. If a team from a major conference loses a home bye game, it's a big deal for a day, but they have more than enough opportunities to basically erase it. If an under the radar school does that, it's going to linger there forever.
I just want to throw a quick note here for everyone watching the screen here and see how without net ratings do we have tiers separated for all these games? I'm using the tiers, but I'm using KenPom ratings instead of net ratings at this point in the season. As soon as we get net ratings out, we will switch over to that on the screen. Otherwise, if we use net, everybody would be tier 1A in all of your wins and losses. Would not quite work. But let's go back here to the state. Let's go over here to the upcoming schedule here. Dorman, let me ask you, other games we just spoke, anybody else you're looking at here, right? The games you're looking at, maybe even beyond the Charleston and Towsons.
Northeastern's look terrible. They get a chance in
Yeah.
Georgia Tech over the weekend. College of Charleston is going to the Citadel.
That's a rivalry, right? That's a crosstown
Well,
rivalry.
it's a crosstown matchup.
Do they win one of these?
No, I don't know what the. Oh my God. I'd forgotten how ridiculous that thing looked.
Howard and Hampton, that is the battle for the real HU. That is the that's a rivalry game every season as well. Yeah, maybe
Do
circle
they have
that
the
one.
do they have a trophy that's the letter H?
No, they've got one of these also.
Okay.
Dorman, let me ask you about the Horizon League. Let's switch conferences. Here's the Horizon League standings. The Horizon League off to another bad start after a really disappointing year last year.
Yeah, they're up to their same old tricks, like you said, as last year. This Wright State team, to me, so far, is some what I've seen is probably the best, probably the most talented. They've clearly, their schedule has been rather easy on that side, but I haven't seen much impressive basketball from this conference and from this records you can see there. But if you're asking who I'm high on, probably Wright State.
I'll tell you, I got to give a little shout out to Milwaukee. Went 3-0 in this event they hosted
Yeah,
Saturday and
they
Sunday.
did. Now they were hosting it, but yeah.
UC Davis, BU, and SEMO. I mean, not the greatest competition, but this Milwaukee team was horrible last year.
Yeah, they, oh my God, yeah. And
Big step up, I think, so far off of where they were last season for Milwaukee. So at least a shout out to them, I think, is worthwhile. Upcoming this week here, Griggs. We've got conference play starting here tomorrow night with Bobby Wright State, Milwaukee Green Bay, Detroit Mercy at Fort Wayne, and you got to keep a watch on Antoine Davis, who is I think he currently has and is extending the NCAA record for the most consecutive games in double figures scoring wise. So that is just amazing scoring
Well,
to be happy with that.
I think the future game is the one between Wright State and Youngstown State. Those are two
Yep.
teams that we like coming into the year. I think by comparison to the rest of the league, it's two teams we like the most. You kind of wish this conference used to did things the way they used to when it came to their tournament, but it's not at a predetermined site. So really, it doesn't have the same feel to it that, big games in the Big South or the Northeast or that one feel, but still a big game nonetheless.
All right. Grace, let me stick with you. Jump over to the Ivy League. I mentioned a little bit of Penn earlier, but Penn is not really the story of this conference. I
No,
think
they're
it's Yale.
not. Yale is it has looked really good, and I know that this one of the games that impressed me the most was the one that they lost. They go out to Colorado, who now again, if you only watch under the radar schools and don't pay attention to the power conferences, you don't know if Colorado is going to, go to Gonzaga and win by 30, if they're going to lose at home to a D3 team, the way they've been this year. But it's not easy to win out there. Yale went out there, was in the game the entire game. I thought they played really well. I haven't seen anybody else really in any game, and nothing against Harvard, Princeton. They're both off to good starts. Yale has clearly been the most impressive team to me.
Dorman, any other thoughts? I mean, I think I agree with him completely. I don't know if
I
you
agree with Briggs completely. Let's see, this Harvard team gets a shot at UMass later. Yeah, there it is. Gets a shot
Well,
at
that's a fun
UMass
one.
Friday night. So we'll see how good they are. They've shown they can be okay. But I'm with Briggs. Yale has looked really impressive to me so far. But next is Cornell.
And
Penn
Butler
was some.
better watch out. It's a good Yale team.
As I say, Penn getting some Big Five action in as we record this. They're up on St. Joe's. They got LaSalle coming up Saturday as well. So, and Villanova then Wednesday. So Big Five week, and then circle next Wednesday. Brown at Rhode Island. Some more of that Ocean State
Ocean State, yeah. The Ocean State Tournament.
State
Oh, we need to
Tournament
bring
continue.
that back.
Dorman, the Metro Atlantic Conference, where Quinnipiac finally suffered their first loss of the season, a 2-point loss to Hofstra on Sunday.
Yeah, they played really well. Nothing terrible about losing to Hofstra. I think Hofstra is one of the better under the radar teams this year. St. Peter's, even without Coach Shaheen Holloway, up to its old tricks, off to a nice start. And Siena actually looked very
Very,
good over the
yes.
weekend in the Mickey Mouse tournament down there in Orlando. Played
Yeah, they
really
did.
well. Seton Hall, they beat by 5. That was more than 5. They really, really beat them bad. And Seton Hall had no answers. And then there's that Iona team with Patino. Only played 4 games so far. There are high hopes for Iona this year. Let's see where they can get.
Yeah, that was a tough game against Santa Clara. They had to go out to Las Vegas to play Santa Clara in that game. They did lose by 10. It was a very late start. I still think this Iona team, at the end of the day, will end up being the team to beat in this conference.
I think so too, because their losses were fairly tough games to win. And as fun as Quinnipiac has been, I just don't think that it's going. I think that will burn out, and that Iona will sprint past them.
Well, I would like to congratulate Rider, who's, although they are 0-4 versus D1 heading in, and they're just a few moments away from beating Monmouth tonight, which will put them in first place in the conference. Go from winless against D1 to first
Yeah.
place, at least until tomorrow when more conference play gets underway
Yeah.
here. But so Rider for one day will be the first place team in Metro Atlantic and probably won't be again the rest of the season.
Yeah, and a lot of these leagues, this is a little bit new and unusual. We saw a little bit during the bracket busters back in those days, if you remember, to free up the open dates on the schedule. The Metro Atlantic in particular wanted to get a game in before the winter break for the so the students
Well,
could be there.
and well,
Yeah.
it's also, but it's also part of this have the new tw the 20 games league
Yeah,
schedules, which are
that too,
become
yeah.
Circle Tuesday night, St. Louis at Iona, though, huge game, very
It
interesting
is
game.
big. And good on St. Louis for going. That is a tough game. Is that on campus?
Yep,
Or, oh,
I
okay.
believe
So they're
so.
not playing into the Garden or any like Iona, a New York-based team. So, okay. Wow.
Griggs, the Mid-American Conference, where everybody's got two losses already. I do think there's some very good teams here,
Oh, there are.
but I think they've or may have already suffered the losses that they couldn't afford, especially because these teams are going to beat the hell out of each other during the when during the MAC season, I think.
Yeah, so and I to their credit, a lot of teams went out and they scheduled big. So they haven't been playing non-D1 games and they haven't just been playing cupcakes. Kent State, one of their losses was one of their two losses was at Houston, and it was a game where they actually had a lead with less than a minute to go. It was a tremendous, at least especially defensive effort. And Toledo just inexplicably not doing well in their multi-team event, the MTE. But they have a win over UAB. Akron is off to a tough start, but they played a tough schedule, although not a very good loss tonight.
They lost to
But
Marshall. Marshall's a decent team, but not
yeah,
great.
and
Yeah.
Marshall is a decent team,
And it was on the
but
road, but.
between Kent State, Akron, and Toledo, I think that they're all really good. And yeah, they both have two losses, but like Kent State went to Houston. Nobody's going to win at Houston this year.
right. Upcoming schedule here for this conference is on the screen now. I see the Bodies in Buffalo and a little Western New York Big Four action there.
Yeah.
And Kent State going to Gonzaga, Dorman. You taking Kent State in that game?
I'm not taking Kent State in that game, but I think that game could be very close. Like Rick said, Kent State and Toledo are my two top teams in this conference. Gonzaga better be ready and focused. Few should have them focused after a few drops games. But Kent State is a very good ball club. They can play with Gonzaga. They'll be happy to run up and down the court with them. They're not going to be intimidated.
I don't think they will be either. They weren't by Houston. Who's better than
No,
Gonzaga? So,
I agree.
a couple updates before we go on. We were talking about Conference USA at the start of the show. Rice did barely hold off on the win in Prairie View. Western Kentucky barely held off to win, but did win at Austin Peay by a point. And over in the America East, Fordham came back, and Maine did suffer their sec their third loss of the season. So much for that great Black Bear season. It's but Dorman over in the mighty MEAC, which has more teams with winning records against overall than the Big Sky does. is there, a conference that
Norfolk
would
State is, yeah,
okay.
Norfolk State, sorry. Norfolk State is solid. Their only losses are Baylor, UCLA, and Houston. Those three teams aren't going to lose many games this year. Good on Norfolk for scheduling them. When it gets to March, those games will absolutely help them come big games. I give them a lot of credit for scheduling it. And they have a nice team there. I think Norfolk State is probably the best team in the conference.
Oh God, I don't. I think it's them, and there's a big canyon between the whoever the second place team is. I don't think Norfolk State loses a game. I think they run the table, win the tournament, perfect 17-0.
We've seen a little bit of life out of Juan Dixon's Coppin State team so far this year. So I could see them being the second best team, and I could see them maybe even challenging Norfolk State near the top
Really?
there.
Yeah.
So, but here's the upcoming schedule. It's bye games. Norfolk is at Old Dominion, and Coppin, I just mentioned, is at Loyola Maryland and at NC State, and Wednesday night, Delaware State, Delaware is another big rivalry game for us.
Yeah, that's a ra you've been to that one, haven't you,
I went to
Chad?
that game a couple of years back. Yes.
Okay.
Let's jump over, Griggs, to the Missouri Valley Conference, which is starting conference play tonight, and the undefeated heading into the night, Drake Bulldogs are now in dead last place.
So Drake came into this game undefeated. Every single game that I've watched Drake play, which if it wasn't all of them, it was all but maybe one of them, they have slept through their alarm. They've not looked good at the beginning, and then they've made adjustments and woken up and did what they had to do to win. And then by the end of the game, it's like, well, should I be impressed with how they gathered themselves and still managed to win despite not playing at the top of their ceiling? Or should I be critical because they're continuously not playing their best game? And the same thing happened tonight. They're on the road against the Trees, Indiana State, who's good. And they fell behind, and I'm like, well, here we go again. But they got back in it. They got the lead. They appeared to be in control. A 9-0 run in the final minute or two, put the Trees back on top and got them the win. But what about Drake? And it's just one of those things. It's like if they're doing this, playing 70% of the way up to their potential, how good will they be if they ever kick it in the gear and start playing all the way up to it?
Yeah, but you can't lose games like
You
this.
can't,
That's not my problem. I mean, I get it was a road game, it was a conference game. Indiana State is, I think, is going to be a really good team this year in the Valley. But I don't know. I guess we
And
got to kind of look.
like we always say, Chad, not to brag on our own like anecdotes, yeah, it's hard to win at Indiana State, but you know what else is hard? Landing inside the bubble. You have to win games that are hard.
Other than Drake and Indiana State, Dorman, I'm kind of keeping a little bit eye on Belmont here. Nice win on Sunday at Georgia State, I thought.
Nice win. Played really well over the weekend. I agree with you. The team I'm eyeing are the
Okay.
Salukis from Southern Illinois.
Ooh.
I believe they go to St. Louis on Saturday. That is a really good game. Southern Illinois has a great, not great. Southern Illinois has a really nice basketball team this year. One of their best in the last 5 to 10 years that I can remember. I am going to be tuned in Saturday. They don't play. Is it
They,
on
they,
there?
they, it is on the Southern.
It's yep.
They're at St. Louis on Saturday. Just
Yeah.
as a score update, didn't make the screen. They did win their game at Evansville tonight as well. So,
Yeah.
Right. So yes, I watch that game on Saturday. Should be a great game, a big test, because St. Louis is a very good team. If they can hang in there and even win at Southern Illinois, we'll get a big boost from the conference. They've won some, they've struggled on some games, but I like the Salukis team. If it's not going to be Drake, Southern Illinois.
Might want to keep an eye out, Griggs, also on Valparaiso, who got off to an absolutely horrendous start to the season and suddenly seems to have turned things around.
Yeah, which is kind of hard to believe. It's been a minute since probably since the Drews were there since we've talked about Valpo.
Well, you want to see an interesting looking profile here. I'll put Valpo up real quick on the left there. They lost to Chicago State at the start of the season. They looked horrendous. They got blown out at Samford early on. Now they've beaten James Madison. I mean, it just it I don't think they're a good team, but that win over James Madison did just like where'd that come from to me? So anyhow, let's there's the rest of the upcoming schedule. Looking down the rest of the week there, heading into next week as well. Missouri State at St. Mary's, another game you can probably at least keep an eye on. I don't know that Missouri State can beat them, but Griggs over in the Northeast Conference up next year. All right, go ahead.
Well, we just love this conference. I wish this conference would ditch out of conference games and just play a quadruple round robin. I would approve of that. That would be, what is it, 32 games. As far as who's jumped out, and again, you can't really read too much into results so far because so many of these are road bye games. But are we still kind of in agreement that Wagner is sort of is the team that sort of jumped out early?
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, the team that we thought heading into the season would be really good was going to be our preseason pick. Interesting enough, was Merrimack, a transitional team. They're still without a D1 win though so far, but it is these bye games. It is they'll actually have a home game coming here Friday against BU. Wagner is going to be at Army, and then at Fordham. Maine
The
couldn't win at
Fordham
Fordham.
Wagner game gonna be good.
What
Little New York City
has anybody
weather.
ever said
Well, I mean, Fordham, it's
that
normally, yeah, when Fordham plays against this conference or against other New York-based schools like Wagner, the St. Francis, Brooklyn, Long Island, they basically demonstrate that they would not do well even in this conference most of the time, but Fordham a little better this year.
Merrimack going to San Francisco next week, a little road trip there for them.
A little bit.
OVC conference here, Dorman. We've got if you look at the standings, it is surprisingly SIU Edwardsville here with the best overall record. But I don't know that we can really see much about any of these teams here because when they do win, they seem to be beating non-D1 teams.
Yes, that's all those wins are coming against. Not great competition. The time Edwardsville stepped out, I believe one of them was Missouri. They got blasted. I agree with you, Chad. We can't really determine anything yet because they really haven't played anyone at their own level. But come conference time, we'll see who steps up here.
I have a quick comment, Chad. My puppet math, I counted 16. 16 of the wins have been non-D1 wins. Come on, Ohio Valley.
I'm trying to see if we have a score update on this game tonight between Tennessee State and St. Louis. St. Louis is up 12 in that game. It's Lindenwood took care of East West University tonight, I know as well.
They need to implement few, like some th that really is not good for the league. This in compared to what this league where it was, but I mean, granted, realignment kind of gutted it. But when more than half of your wins are non-D1 wins, that you got issues.
But you look at the upcoming schedule here, you've got, I see Blackburn, I see Boyce, I see Anderson, Indiana. They're still scheduling these games. And I think the only thing I've learned about the OVC so far is it's a real good chance the winner of this conference is going to Dayton in the first four. Which is a shame, but with when four teams leave and two of them are your best two teams by far, it's
I understand that that was an issue, but they are not helping themselves out scheduling the way that they are. That's ridiculous.
Griggs, how about the Patriot League here?
Okay, on to notice far, far fewer non-D1 games here, but Colgate, and again, some of these records are out of whack because of road bye games, but Colgate is still the team. I like them coming into the year. I certainly like what they did against Syracuse. I might go back and watch it again a time or two or five, but American, it's been fun seeing Navy get out to the on the run that they've been on. But I really just think I have not seen anybody that I thought was as good as Colgate.
Yeah, Dorman, I think I agree with him completely. I hate agreeing with him, but I do agree with him here that Cole
I'm
King,
with
who.
you. If someone's gonna challenge him, I've been a little impressed with American. They look okay, but yeah, Colgate is the best team in this
So,
conference.
we got a pick for Colgate at Auburn coming up on Friday night.
Auburn by about a lot.
I wouldn't be surprised if they hung in there with them. I would not
Yeah.
be shocked.
Northwestern did.
Yeah, they did.
The Southern Conference here, Dorman, where Samford
Oh
6-2 looks good,
boy. Oh boy.
but most half of that's been against non-D1 competition. So it's actually almost a little disappointing for the SoCon, who's normally a bit stronger than what we've seen so far this year.
Yeah, usually some strong teams in Chattanooga or Furman. Not yet. I know Samford is testing themselves in Chicago tonight against DePaul. I'm not sure of the score.
Oh, good call. I forgot about that one.
But yeah, again, a little disappointing.
Right now, here the good news for Samford is they're only down three. It's about 5 minutes into the second half. The bad news for Samford is this is their revenge game coming off their home loss to Martin Methodist.
Yeah. Again, the
Ooh.
conference around here.
I'm not necessarily, is Martin Methodist, is that an ACC team, an SEC team? Martin Methodist, they got to be one of those major conferences, right? Oh, that was bad. That was bad on
Oh,
Sunday.
God, yeah.
Sorry, Dorman, go ahead.
No, that was really all. So we'll see if Samford can hang in there with the Big East and DePaul tonight. We'll learn more in the next few coming up weeks here when they start to play each other in some non-D1 competition.
I say we do need to give a shout out to Wofford. Was right in there with LSU out on Sunday. They had a chance to win that game, so that could have been one of the big wins that this conference could really use. I don't know if winning at DePaul is a big win that any conference could ever use, but Greg, since the rest of the upcoming schedule, I don't know if there's anything else really worth mentioning besides what we've already talked about here.
Nothing that's really jumping out other than this Samford DePaul game. And it would have jumped out a lot higher and had they not lost to, I think they're Tennessee Southern now, but what formerly Martin Methodist.
Thank you. They are now Tennessee Southern. Yes.
Yeah, and that's
Charles, I
Southern
saw that.
Baptist, not or no, it's not. It's Southern Method. It whatever. It's Tennessee Southern. I don't I I
Tennessee Southern, aka Martin, formerly known as Martin Methodist.
Right. I don't know
I
what I'm
just I
talking
did
about.
see that. I saw that the name was wrong, but
Charleston, yeah.
same
Charleston's
school though,
going to
same
the
school.
Citadel on Saturday. Not a
Yeah.
bad game.
That's
And
a big in that's a big in-city rivalry. Wait, didn't we do
yeah.
this so much already tonight?
It's an in-state matchup or
Not
in-state.
why I
Yeah.
brought it up.
Wait, does the
But
winner of that get one of these also here?
I just, we gotta just one more time. Somebody designed this, finished it, and thought, yeah, that looks good. That's all right.
Oh jeez. Let's go to the Southland Conference here, Dorman, where we've actually had surprise a lot more surprise wins out of this conference than I thought we'd have had so far this year.
Definitely. Northwestern stayed off to a nice start. Texas A&M Corpus Christi looking okay. Commerce, like you said, is playing tonight, I believe, out in the islands against Hawaii. Another conference we're going to learn a lot more in the next couple of weeks as they start to get into some conference play. If I had to take a shot right now, I might even go Corpus Christi the way they've played.
Oh yeah, I like them. Yeah.
Oh, but Northwestern State has played well also so far. So
Yeah, they have, and they got the
that
best
did
win
not.
so far by far.
Yes.
So, with that win at TCU.
Yeah, they won at TCU. Southeastern Louisiana won at Wyoming, but
Yeah, that's losing
Wyoming's
on some of its luster.
yeah.
Yeah.
Southeastern Louisiana, as we record this, is at Xavier and not doing exactly what I would call very good, down by 40 points with a minute and a half left, but they may have a shot to come back still.
Oh boy.
So
Stalika
they're
has left the building. Yeah, he may have left the building. I don't know if he's still there or not. Not with us tonight because of that game.
Southeastern Louisiana will be at Dayton on Saturday. Actually, we skipped a game that we should have spoke about, so we've got to go back here, Griggs.
Okay.
It happened on Sunday. I'm sorry, not on Sunday. It was on, where was it here?
Oh yes! Oh,
I
I
think
know
there
the
was
one you're
on
talking
Monday. I'm
about.
sorry,
The
on
Battle of the
Monday,
Alamo.
the first ever battle of the two San Antonio teams. Texas San Antonio did come off with a 6-point win over Incarnate Word, but congratulations on them winning the Battle of the Alamo there.
Yes, I just hope they keep it up.
And as a result, they win.
Just
I can't do it anymore. I can't.
We're going to be doing that all year. It is the new Handy and Durahan. That stupid.
Kings, how about the swag?
What? What are the SWAC normally performs at a level where a trophy like that would be appropriate. But so far, oh God, talk about a league. Now, this is a conference that probably collectively plays more road bye games than any other. You see very few wins. SWAC actually performing at a higher level than what it normally does, did very well against the Pac-12 in that challenge, Grambling, beating a couple of Pac-12 teams, more Pac-12 teams than any other, than all other wins combined, actually. How are you not impressed by that? I still think Texas Southern is the team that I like the most, but Grambling's looked the best so far.
They have. And Prairie View went to Arkansas State and picked up a win over the weekend too. You know that.
Yeah.
They were playing in Rice earlier this evening, and they had a lead at halftime. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, Rice did win that by 8 there. But they were in the game.
Yes, they were.
Here's the upcoming schedule. That Florida FAMU game, that was a 40-point win for a bad Florida team over FAMU. So there's the rest of the upcoming schedule here. Some bye games in there. Jackson State going to SMU and TCU, for example. But Dorman
going to Grambling. Yeah.
Dorman, how about the Summit League?
The Summit League, usually a solid conference. Denver off to a really good start. I know last week I saw him play the Citadel. It was close. But in the end, they took it. St. Thomas on their transition have also off to a decent
That's
start.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's just really good. When you the difference in competition is a lot. It's big. And when you can come into Division I basketball and put up wins, like I don't care who you're playing, I'm impressed. They're doing a good job there.
Yeah. A quick note on St. Thomas. We have written about this. It's a 5-year transition instead of the regular 4 because they came up from D3, but already with transitioning from D3 straight into D1, the fact that they've won 5 D1 games against anybody, just to echo what Dorman just said, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say the one big disappointing thing about this conference so far has been North Dakota State, really a perennial power in this conference.
Oh, they've crashed.
Without a D1 win. It's not like they're just losing bye games. I mean, yeah, they lost at New Mexico. That's a tough place to win. But you lost a game to Jacksonville State on a neutral court, to Northern Colorado. These are games that we typically see them win. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. And again, South Dakota State, despite being 3-4, I still really like them. I think that once they get into the league, they're going to do really well. A lot of the games that they've lost have been to just – it's a more of a reflection of their schedule than it is how good they are, that 3-4 record. Are you a little disappointed in the Yotes? You and I were both kind of excited about them. They've kind of swung and missed a few times.
Yeah, well, I don't
think Friday night, South Dakota State's got a chance. They're going to Kent State. Let's see if they can get the train back on the tracks here. They could pick up a big win there.
Actually, a really interesting road trip. Kent State Friday night at Alabama Saturday. Then
it's the second time they've done that.
And then they finished that, followed up by Tuesday going to Montana. They are putting on some miles on out there.
They've played back-to-back games before. I think this is the second time they've done that. And back-to-back games in different cities. So that 3-4 record is more indicative of the schedule and the travel than it is of how good South Dakota State is, because they're good. They're good.
South Dakota, the Yotes, they're playing BYU on Saturday, and then they got a game at Air Force coming up Tuesday. Oral Roberts, Cross City Rivalry against Tulsa coming up on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I think they win it. Tulsa's pretty bad. I mean, Oral Roberts just won it. This is never – why haven't we done this before? This is not a new trophy. It's been – oh,
Griggs, how about the Sun Belt Conference?
Well, two team. Well, yeah, a lot to unpack here. Troy is good. Like Troy, 3-2 against D1 on in and of itself doesn't sound good, but they went into Arkansas and hung with them for what was it, 37, 38 minutes. They were right in there. Marshall, we sort of wrote them off, or I did, after they lost to Queens in their opener, but they haven't lost since. They won a pretty decent game tonight against, was it Kent State that they beat? They just won it. I just watched it. I can't remember who it was against.
Akron.
Akron, sorry. Oh God, I just got blasted out of the wrong end of the Rag & Wheel rivalry. Louisiana 6-1, a win at Louisiana Tech. JMU, we talked about them, or did we already? Like the loss against North Carolina, and then one other game.
They lost that Valpo game over the weekend, which
Yeah,
was a
the
shocker.
Valpo,
Yeah.
and you're really holding your nose at that one. But yeah, and then Southern Miss unbeaten with a couple of really notable wins of their own. I like this league a lot.
Yeah, Dorman. I mean, I think we saw more losses this past week than we had in any other week out of this conference. But I still think it is a solid conference here.
I agree. There's going to be this is going to be a great race all year long. I agree with Greg. Southern Miss is good. James Madison is going to be heard from Troy, like we already discussed. App State's not terrible. This is going to be a great race all season long. Watch the Sun Belt.
Here's the upcoming schedule in the Sun Belt. Bunch of games where
James Madison at Virginia Tuesday night. Let's see if Madison can hang.
Troy at San Diego State Monday night. That might be a little bit
Wow.
interesting as well.
Yeah, that one might be. So the question, another question I have about this is, do you see any teams that can get on or inside the bubble?
Yeah, if Southern Miss goes undefeated, absolutely.
Yeah, I think if they win out, they'll be there.
At this point of the season, Griggs, quite honestly, if you have an undefeated team, they're on my bubble watch right now.
Yeah,
No matter,
right here.
we're far enough into the season, so talk to me again in a couple of weeks once they've lost a game.
Okay.
Norfolk State Old Dominion, is that a cross city rivalry also?
Yeah. Yeah, they yeah, it's in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. All right. Oh,
Let's finish our regular conferences out here with the WAC and Dorman. This Sam Houston team
Yeah.
did suffer the loss in Nevada. They were in that game most of the first half, but finally Nevada turned it on in the second half.
Yeah, Nevada played really well last night, but I agree. Sam Houston plays tough in your face defense. They're going to give this conference fits all year long. The coaching style fits their personnel. I think this is Sam Houston's year to win the WAC. Seattle also off to a nice start. Grand Canyon, Drew doing a nice job out there. This conference actually is better right in the top in the middle than in most of the years past.
Yeah, Bryce, you're doing a nice job out there. I mean, I don't think they beat much of anybody this week, but they're right there at
I'm
6-8.
impressed with Seattle. Like their only loss was that Washington game, and at least for a minute they were competitive in that game for a lot of it. So
Let's not forget about New Mexico State. I mean, they've only played
right.
four games. They had both the games against New Mexico canceled with that horrible shooting incident that we discussed
Yeah,
last week.
they are blowing the doors off UTEP as we record this. We can pretty much go ahead and project that they will win that game. It's about a 20-point margin, and you kind of wonder when something like that happens. How does it impact the locker room and the psyche? Since that, I mean, again, New Mexico State looking like they always have, kind of a shame. We love that rivalry with New Mexico. I really hate that we're not going to see it, but I can't say that it was the wrong decision considering the circumstances.
Here's the upcoming schedule. Grand Canyon at Wyoming on Saturday. The winnable road game, I think, for the Lopes here. Also want to circle what I see there. Sam Houston at Oklahoma State on Tuesday. Tarleton at Baylor. Billy Gillespie's team might have a shot if Baylor plays the way they played against Marquette.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Griggs, we have two other teams to talk about.
Yeah, and one in particular here.
Chicago State, and how about some congratulations for the Hartford Hawks picking up a D1 win? I did not think they would get one this season.
I didn't either, and this really hurts their centenary chances because it's if you lose, if you win just one, It can cost you the award.
It could.
Yeah.
Chicago State with two D1 wins, Hartford with one. Let's just move on here. Look at their upcoming schedules here. Chicago State's at Bethune-Cookman and hosting Southern Indiana. They could get a couple more wins here. Shall we go to some mythical conferences? Let's start with, oh, that was that's the independents. How about some mythical conferences in terms of the Front Range Conference? Still no games yet in Front Range play.
We
But
have some coming up, yeah.
as we noted earlier, we do have coming up Northern Colorado at Colorado State. I think that's the only one on the schedule for this week, but that will be our first game of the Front Range coming up. If we get to the Front Range, we might as well then go to the Back Range, right?
Back range, yes.
This is our newest conference this year, including the number four team in the nation, a member of this league, and not in first place, as Arizona State and UTEP are currently tied for the lead. Although that
Yeah.
will change as soon as this New Mexico State game goes final here. That is a back range game going on right now.
Yeah. And again, see, I've yeah, New Mexico State, Grand Canyon. Well, a lot of these teams will start to play each other here in a little bit.
We've got let's see. I think that's our only Front Range game this week is the one that's going on right now. But
Yeah.
of course we showed the old ochre bucket earlier.
Yeah.
That goes to the champion of the Beehive Conference, our other favorite mythical conference here, where Utah State out to the 1-0 lead in conference play with the big win they had earlier this season over Utah Valley.
Yeah, and we got some action coming up this week. Utah, not, more and more Beehive teams dropping off of their schedule.
But
And
Utah Tech has a big week at Utah State, at Weber State, a couple of Beehive games for them, and then Utah Valley BYU on Wednesday. So,
Yeah, the Utah State BYU rivalry not renewed. It was not a rolling contract, and it is expiring, and they can't seem to come to terms on a new one. I do think we'll see this rivalry again very soon after a short hiatus. It was just too popular.
again, the winner gets one of these.
Yeah.
Not one of these.
Right, yeah.
Let's go to our Hoops HD Under the Radar top 10.
Oh, God,
All
yeah.
three of us, along with our good friend John Slico, who couldn't make it out tonight, did vote. We've got some honorable mentions to start. These are votes that came in that teams did not quite make the top 10. We have the Bryant, we had Southern
Oh,
Illinois,
Bryant
Yale,
just
Western
misses it.
Kentucky, James Madison, and the Battle of the Alamo getting an
The
honorable
Battle of the
mention.
Alamo getting a vote. All right.
I guess it's a school.
I voted
No.
for Bryant, so I'm the
Me
one. I
too.
think I had them 10th, but
Okay.
yeah.
Well, number 10, we had Louisiana, the Raging
Yeah,
Cajuns making
I
the list
can see
there.
that. Yeah.
Number 9, Florida
Ooh,
Atlantic. You're
Florida
one of
Atlantic.
part of our feature conference here, Conference
Yeah.
USA.
Be Florida.
Unfortunate. Yeah,
Number
they
8,
did.
Kent State out of the
Good job. I'm
Mid-America.
glad to see. Good job, committee, for
Yeah.
voting them in. Yeah.
Number 7, we got UAB, also out of our feature conference here.
Yeah.
And Western Kentucky was an honorable mention there. Number 6, Towson out of the Colonial, one of those two Colonial
Yeah.
teams that we talked about really like.
The former number, I think last week's number one team just had that inexplicable light loss. Southern Miss climbing the rankings.
Southern Miss used to be a
Yeah.
Conference USA team, undefeated though, now in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
Number 4, UC Irvine. The eatery
Really?
is
Oh, that's low.
down at 4. Griggs,
Yeah.
I know. I think you had the number 1.
I
I did
did.
not agree with you.
I did
It's
not either.
Number 3, we had Sam Houston, despite the loss, still hanging in there right near the top of the standings. Number 2, it is
Drake.
Drake.
And
So
this
that's
is, I think the voting was in probably before the
all the
game
voting
against
was in
Indiana
before their
State. Yeah.
final. So even
Yes.
before the loss, they were number 2, not number 1.
Yeah.
But let's find out who our number 1 under the radar team is. A little drum roll, please.
We know who it is.
The
College of
College of
Charleston.
Charleston.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the Cougars, number 1. And they may not be under the radar next week.
They're
They
getting
were, I think,
really close to
they
the
were
top
a
25. Yeah.
few spots off of making the top 25, at least in the AP poll this week.
Yeah.
Let me pull that down here and go to final thoughts here. Dorman, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll go to a game we're going to see this weekend. Kentucky is going to play Michigan, and I get going out of the country and trying to get notoriety for the game of college basketball and bringing fans in. But one, the World Cup is going on. The The fans in England could not care about this game. This game would be awesome if it's in Ann Arbor at the Chrysler Center or at Rupp. Let the kids get to this game. Put this game on campus, and let's have a big-time showdown. Don't move it out of the country. Play these games on campuses. Let's get the excitement. I think fans like to see the excitement more than empty gyms and quiet. I just don't think the atmosphere will be what it should be for a game that would have been awesome.
The only way it would be is if they put the England game on television inside the arena.
Oh, they might do that. Who knows?
Yeah. Chad, I'm going to need the I'm going to need the screen share for my final thought here. Okay. Could you enable it?
Absolutely. Let me see. Go ahead. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. We got it. All right. Good. We made mention of this very briefly when we talked about Hartford. It is my final thought deals with the Centenary Award. What that is that it's an award that we at Hoops AG give to the worst D1 team every year. And as part of the bonus, they are included in our process. Well, the second year of this award's existence, there was a grave injustice done when the award was given to Townsend when it should have been given to Binghamton. It was the wrong decision, and I think this
it was
year
the right
is evidence
decision.
Of that. Based on we just put Townsend in our under the radar top 10. I am making a motion that we change the results of the 2012 Centenary Award.
You
10
cannot.
Years later.
You cannot make a motion 11 years later. So you motion denied by a chairman's prerogative here. But,
Jesus Christ, have we really been doing this 11 years? I know Hoops HD hasn't been here that long, but wow.
On that note, all right. No more pictures of the trophy, at least maybe until next week. But on behalf of David Dorman, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week, Monday night, with Hoops HD Report, Wednesday with Under the Radar. Till then, enjoy the games, everybody, and we'll talk to you again real soon.